This is Uncle Kip's greatest hits.
We're live in the studio with local comic Jeffrey Trombone.
Hey, my friends call me Jeffrey Tromboner.
Very good. Who's got a show tonight, and he's here in the studio to give us a little preview of what's coming up. Go ahead and dive right in, Jeff.
Thanks, Kip. All right, so I'm walking out on stage, right? I'm walking out. I'm kind of like moving real funny, and my hands are going all over the place, and I'm wearing a big old suit, like a giant suit with just the biggest white stain you've ever seen just on the side. And this guy in the audience, he's a plant. He just yells out, "What's up with the stain, man?" And I go, "Oh, hey, sorry, guys. You know, I just came from Monica Lewinsky's house." Am I right?
That's really good. What do you do then?
Oh, then I wheel out this big old toilet. It's giant toilet, you know?
It's an oversized toilet.
Yeah, it's a very big toilet. And I open up the seat, and on it is the two guys from Milli Vanilli. It's their faces. And I go, "Look where their career really went, right down the shitter." And then I open and shut the toilet a lot. Uh-huh. Like that, like real fast, you know? It's like a fan.
Well, Jeff, let's watch the curse words on air, but
Oh, family show. Yeah. And next I walk off stage for a second, then I walk back on, and I just got the biggest glove you've ever seen on one of my hands, and I go, "Hey, if the glove doesn't fit, you must have quit. Am I right, ladies?" It's a big old glove, you know. It's OJ because the glove didn't fit him.
Very good. So you're lampooning OJ in this one. You're very topical. Very,
yeah, you know,
you're watching one eye on the news, huh?
Well, then in my finale, I have two puppets, and one of them's Carrot Top, and the other one's Gallagher, and they kind of, you know, they fight, and I make them talk to each other, and it's really, really funny. And at the end, Gallagher, he's getting all pumped up, you know, he's moving his arms around, and all he wants to do is just smash a watermelon. And then I use the other puppet, Carrot Top, to grab a cantaloupe and go, "Is this a watermelon?" And everyone just starts laughing and clapping. And my dad is in the audience, and he's so proud of me. And he just, he won't stop telling me how proud of me he is and that he loves me. And he's shaking his fist in the air saying, "That's my son." And he hits the guy on the next to him on the shoulder. He goes, "That's my son up there. He's doing good." And, you know, that's basically my act.
And, Jeffrey, where are you going to be doing this show tonight?
The coffee shop on 98th and Broadway. There's an open mic there. Plan on being there tonight. So, come on.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Jeffrey. Thanks for coming in. Sounds like a great show. Don't miss it.
This is Uncle Kip.
All right, folks, we are live in the studio with Sam Green. Longtime listeners may know him as our resident UFO expert. Good to have you back, Sam. Sam, I understand you have quite a tale to spin for us. Can you tell us about what's happened to you recently?
Kip, I'm going to get right down to it. I was abducted.
By what?
You know, call them what you will. Visitors from another planet. Little green men. They weren't green. Aliens, man. Extraterrestrials.
Well, that sounds pretty far out, buddy. What was it like up there?
Oh my goodness, I don't remember a lot from the experience. I just remember a very, very bright light. Went to bed, you know, normal as usual, and just this bright light for about 30 minutes, and then I was back in my bed. I woke up normal.
So you don't remember much about the alien ship itself. Was anything different or changed when you got back?
Well, Kip, I kind of wrote it off as maybe just a weird dream, you know, something to kind of keep in the back of your head but not pay too much attention to. But then I noticed some changes happening to myself.
Changes to yourself? Well, what do you mean? Were you looking different? Were you feeling different? What was happening?
Well, I went to the ball game the other day, and, you know, I saw one of those high-speed pitches, those things that they sell balls for, and you throw it in, and they clock your speed. And
where they have the little radar detector, yeah, thing, and they'll tell you how fast you're throwing a ball.
I hit 76 miles an hour. I've never gotten above 50 before that.
That's a hell of a throw. So you're saying you think you were abducted by aliens because you're throwing 26 miles an hour faster than before?
Kip, there's a lot more, man. There's a lot more to this story, all right? I got back after the game. Went to the fridge. I was a little hungry. So I found a potato in there that was already in the foil, ready to be baked. And I thought, well, you know, after this weird experience with this fastball, you know, I was just kind of feeling a little like maybe I'll try some things out, you know, some stuff that I've never tried before. And I just went, hey there, baked potato, why don't you bake for me? And I opened it up. The potato was baked already.
So you found a potato in the fridge just by yelling at it. It baked itself, or you baked it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been, you know, I haven't found a potato or been very hungry around a potato since, so I haven't been able to try it again, but that thing was baked, and I know it didn't just bake itself, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's crazy. But that's not even it.
There's more.
There's exactly one more to make it three. I don't mean to freak you out, but I gotta tell you, you are talking to the real cool cucumber right here.
What does that mean?
I don't need AC. I have self AC. I always feel cool. Sorry. Kip, if you'll remember last week, I was talking about how the aliens have an internal biological cooling agent inside of themselves. I now have that. I'm a cool cucumber. I'm good to go, man. I don't need air conditioning. We're going to find out in the winter if I need heat. But right now, man, I'm good to go. I'm movie theater temperature at all times.
So your days of burning hot are behind you.
I got a sunburn. It didn't even really hurt that bad.
Well, Sam, that's an incredible story. How are you feeling about it? You feeling good? You feeling nervous? I mean, what is your relationship with the aliens right now?
Well, you know, I just want them to take me back to show me some more of their powers. You know, I really want to harness it. I think we're ready. I think that my gifts could help out all of humanity, you know? Just yelling at a potato, baking it. Done. No more fire.
Well, Mr. Sam Green, as always, thanks so much for coming on. It is fascinating to hear what's going on out there in outside space. As always, it has been far out.
Next week, I'll show you that I can turn anything into a BLT sandwich.
Don't turn my microphone into one. I get a little hungry at lunch.
Oh, you.
I get a little too nibbly. Yeah. All right, Sam. Well, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks a lot, Kip.
I look forward to talking to you in the future.
This is Uncle Kip.
I'm in the studio now with Dr. Ned Toddy, adjunct professor at Northwestern University, and an expert in marine biology, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Ned, if I may. Dr. Ned has recently released a book that I have not had the chance to read yet, but I did have one of my interns go through it. They said it was excellent. And I would love to hear more about it. The book is My Life with Dolphins. And I understand, Dr. Ned, that you have been a longtime researcher of, what would you call it, dolphinology? I don't know. It's just a study of dolphins.
It's a good word. I like that.
Thank you.
I'm going to use that.
Thanks, Doc. Well, first of all, Dr. Ned, thank you so much for coming in. How are you today?
I'm okay. How are you, Kip?
I'm well. You know, nobody ever asks.
Hey, you know.
Thanks so much. I appreciate that.
My research is in dolphin communication. We've been cataloging the various clicks and beeps and whirls that dolphins make. Spent about, in total, about 4 months on the Atlantic Ocean recently. And about 10 weeks in, I had a pretty major breakthrough.
Now, one of my interns was telling me there's a section of the book where you are out on the Atlantic Ocean. It was towards the end of your trip.
Yeah.
Maybe in the last third or so. And they said it was just a beautiful section of book. And it was something of a turning point in the story.
That's the breakthrough. Yeah, absolutely.
Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, I have made a habit of whenever we see this pod of dolphins that we've grown accustomed to, I just rip the shirt off, dive in, go for it. And I had I guess what you would call a favorite dolphin. His name was Coconut. Coconut and I grew very close. I wouldn't say we were friends. I'm not positive that they know what they have a concept of friends, but we had become close. And we were, it was a gorgeous, giant full moon that had just popped over the horizon. I was visiting with Coconut, stillest water you've ever seen in the Atlantic. I'd been swimming with him for several hours, holding the fin. We were, you know, playing tag, and he's much, much faster. He was much faster than I was. But I went to bed, and I woke up the next morning, and I found Coconut's carcass on the deck of our boat with hundreds of what was very obviously dolphin bites.
Now, you said you've been studying dolphin communication. Can you tell me a little bit about what that means? Had you communicated with Coconut and his pod at all?
We have developed a very rigorous software program that runs all of their communication through a centralized processing unit that allows us to get an idea, an approximation, and it's growing better every day, of what they're saying.
So you had communicated directly with Coconut before, or you just, can you communicate back, or can you just get a rough idea of what you think they might be saying?
We've been able to, with some success, communicate back. Coconut was probably the closest we've ever come. He was very, very willing to talk with us. Basic things. Hi, how are you? I'm hungry. Do you have any fish? You know, stuff like that. But you know, he turned up, unfortunately, dead. Very untimely death.
That must have been heartbreaking.
It was extremely heartbreaking. I jumped in the water immediately when I saw the pod again to try to get them to open up. And I had my recorder with me. I tried my hardest to get them to talk to me. They were chirping. And
you, were recording this whole time?
Absolutely, the whole time. And we took it back, ran it through the software, and I'm pretty sure, I'm 95% sure, I believe that the dolphin said, "The human's reign of terror will soon be over."
And what do you think, what do you think that means?
Not long after that, they started to nip at my toes. One of them tried to pull my pants down. It was very humiliating. We had to cut the trip short. I believe that there's a good chance at an upcoming dolphin rebellion, and I believe it's going to start in our Sea Worlds, our amusement parks, where we're holding these dolphins essentially hostage.
So you've been a long time admirer of dolphins. Now you're finding out that they're perhaps plotting some sort of violent overthrow. How has that affected you?
While I am heartbroken, this is absolutely the most exciting time you could be a dolphinologist.
So you see a lot of job opportunities on your horizon.
Oh, absolutely. When we take them hostage in the upcoming dolphin war, dolphin-human war, I like to call it, we're going to need translators. We're going to take a lot of these guys hostage, and I'm your guy. So U.S. government, you know, Navy, whoever it is, probably the Navy, whoever it is, I'm your guy. You know, just look me up, Dr. Ned Toddy.
Well, Dr. Ned, thanks so much for coming in today. I'm dreading these wars.
Hey, you know, just be on the dolphin side.
Stay out of the water, folks. Again, Dr. Ned, thanks so much.